Nancy Pelosi on its cover for January 2020. And January 20th, I believe it is, and it has the headline, Her Gamble, Why Nancy Pelosi Went All In Against Trump by Molly Ball. But it's interesting that many of their covers do have full color, but she's in the twilight zone. It's the coloring of that little old black and white television set like Lou and I used to have in our hallway. It's outmoded. It's gone. Mr. and Mrs. America, we're told by Senator Dianne Feinstein, at least she addressed people as Mr. and Mrs. America one time, that if she could, she would take away their guns. And the motto would seem to be, pry them from your cold, dead hands. Lou Caverly and I, Elizabeth Cuffett Caverly, represent the peaceful personas of Mr. and Mrs. America on air, exhorting you all, our neighbors, Americans from shining sea to shining sea. Decade after decade, the two of us have lived, worked, and enjoyed the benefits of a constitutional republic, never dreaming that one day our liberties would be greatly threatened. In fact, we didn't even know they were eroding till 9/11 inside job, Obama, the National Defense Authorization Act, and of course, earlier under Bush, we did have the Patriot Act, and we began to open our eyes. And then, during Obama's administration, the insertion into the Army manuals of the topic of re-education camps. Now, there are two major assaults that we're going to have to talk to you tonight about on our republic. And, of course, you can hear our program, The Divided Kingdom, on WWCR.com. It's on shortwave Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 4.840 megahertz. Repeating the program on Saturdays at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, 7.490 megahertz. You can also hear us at Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, 5 p.m. Mondays, repeating at 11 p.m. all Eastern Time. You can hear us at KStarTalkRadio.com. And we don't have a telephone number tonight, but you can go to that website and you can see at KStarTalkRadio.com a way that you can even use your phone to hear the program. Our program is on KStarTalkRadio.com on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Now, we're coming to these important topics that we're going to have to talk about. The first assault is the expose by Project Veritas on the murderous intent to take down America into burning cities of chaos if Trump is reelected. And if he is not, the American Gulag plan to put dissident deplorables into re-education camps. And the second important topic is the notorious keeping comfortable Governor Ralph Northam's declaration of a state of emergency at the state capitol Wednesday, January 15, 2020, making all firearms off limits at his state capitol. We're coming to you one day later, January 16th, so we're going to have to really watch these stories. These are truly emergency times, demanding all of you radio listeners' deepest prayers for Almighty God's help to us so that we have wisdom and restraint. The same God who we think miraculously kept Americans from being killed when Iran's counterstrike on our bases occurred in Iraq. What is the dangerous precipice we're sliding ever nearer toward, Lou?
Tyranny in formerly constitutional America. The morning roundup of elderly Roger Stone and his nightgown-clad wife, while CNN and the FBI collaborated on staging rights. Stone arrested and convicted on the flimsiest of evidence. From a patriot's perspective, it looks as though he was a truth-teller about the takedown of America, silenced by imprisonment. Soon, will this be all of our birthrights, destined to be crushed by totalitarianism as surely as being put in Stalin's gulags or Hitler's death camps? Besides Roger Stone, shockingly, We had the extreme injustice done to 32-year U.S. veteran General Michael Flynn. Entrapped by FBI inquisitors, Flynn called Deputy Director Andrew McCabe to ask whether he needed his lawyer to be present. McCabe told him no. Later, videos show James Comey laughing and bragging that he couldn't have done this kind of foray and possible wiring up into the White House during the Bush years. Men and women in Virginia are going to have to pay attention soon and take a stand. Thankfully, a great template of bravery, an example for all of us, is Sidney Powell, a no holds fast and true. As Flynn's lawyer is the latest from
And
Fox
I
News.
Believe you missed a word, a no
I
hold
think I did.
Fast and true woman. You know, I have to stand up for women in this because, after all, there were people like Molly Pitcher, weren't there? Who were some other people you think of? Betsy Ross? There were some other women. Now,
yes, yes.
And, you know,
many famous and brave ones.
Yeah, and Sidney Powell is very special. I like to watch her on Fox, the network that sometimes puts her on. She's steady. But she is tough and determined. But pick up that story.
The headline from Fox News states, Flynn attorney, prosecutors have committed one atrocity after another against ex-Trump national security advisor. This is, as I said, from Fox News, dateline January the 14th, 2020, by Charles Kreitz. Author and attorney Sidney Powell, who is representing former national security advisor Michael Flynn, in his federal case related to the Russia investigation, told Fox News Tuesday she believes her client may be able to successfully withdraw his guilty plea for lying to the FBI. In a court filing, Flynn's legal team accused the government of acting in bad faith, and this is in quotes, bad faith, vindictiveness, and breach of the plea agreement, unquote. The filing came just days after the Justice Department reversed course to recommend up to 6 months of prison time for Flynn, alleging he was not fully cooperating or accepting responsibility for his actions. Quote, they've been abusing that power for the last year in spades, Sean, Powell told Fox News' Sean Hannity. She went on to say, the reason this all came to this is because they tried to get him to lie in the prosecution of United States versus Bijan Rafikian, his former business partner. And with new counsel standing by his side, of course, there was no way I was going to let him do that. And he didn't want to do that, unquote. Powell said she and Flynn's other representatives pushed back against federal prosecutors by presenting them with evidence, quote, for hours, showing them all kinds of different things that supported the fact that he was telling the truth.
And Lou, I'd have to say, she doesn't have your big booming radio voice, but she does have an intrepid way. She's persistent, and she really keeps at it.
That's great. And she went on to say, quote, instead they doubled down, came against him, tried to designate him co-conspirator, even though they had told the judge in the Eastern District of Virginia that he was not, Powell continued. They never thought he was. It's just been one atrocity after another, said Powell, who added that the government's recent sentencing memorandum appeared to be, quote, full of lies and distortions, unquote. Flynn's attorneys wrote in the filing, quote, the prosecution has shown abject bad faith in pure retaliation against Mr. Flynn since he retained new counsel. This can only be because with new, unconflicted counsel, Mr. Flynn refused to lie for the prosecution, unquote. And the filing continues, justice is not a game, and there should be no room for such gamesmanship to the Department of Justice, unquote.
And now we move to the story, the expose of Project Veritas, James O'Keefe's very, very important organization. And this is by Valerie Richardson, The Washington Times, Tuesday, January 14th, 2020. Project Veritas. Sanders staffer says cities burn if Trump reelected, predicts violence at DNC. Hidden camera footage shows field organizer praising Soviet-style gulags. And, of course, there's a picture here of Democratic presidential candidate Senator Bernie Sanders, and he's speaking at the People's Caucus Vote Truth to Power at the Holdsworth Performing Arts Center at Davenport North High School, Sunday, January 12, 2020, in Davenport, Iowa. A Project Veritas video released Tuesday showed a man identified as a campaign organizer for Democratic presidential hopeful Senator Bernard Sanders saying, "Cities burn," that's a quote, "if President Trump wins re-election," and predicting violence against police at the 2020 Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee. Asked what would happen if Mr. Trump is reelected, the man described as Sanders' campaign field organizer, Kyle Jurek, said, "Effing cities burn," adding, "I mean, we don't have a lot of time left. We have to save effing human civilization." In the undercover video, the first in the Project Veritas number expose 2020 series, he also expressed support for ideological reeducation. Trump voters compared such Americans to Nazis, praised Soviet-style gulags, and predicted police would be, quote, beaten in riots at the party convention. New York sanctuary policy, forced release of suspect in shocking murder, Warren Brand's male rivals losers as Sanders' spat spills into debate, Robert De Niro doesn't know how the Constitution works. Those are just a few little blurbs of some other things going on. And, of course, there's Alec Baldwin. We don't even really pay much attention to these so-called celebrities and their anti-Trump focus. But now, back to Kyle Jurek. We're going to make 1978, in brackets 1968, look like a effing Girl Scout effing cookout, he said, adding, "The cops are going to be the ones that are getting effing beaten in Milwaukee. They're going to call out the National Guard for that S-T. I promise you that." I have to interject as a former English teacher that usually when people keep overusing profanity or vulgarity, it's because they're too stupid to know any better vocabulary and to be able to have any excellence in what they're writing or saying. Now back to the field representative there for Sanders. He was apparently referring to the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago where police clashed with protesters. Quote, "If Bernie doesn't get the nomination or it goes to the second round at the DNC convention, effing Milwaukee will burn," Mr. Jurek said. "It'll start in Milwaukee, and then when the police push back on that, other cities will just effing explosion sound." In the video, Project Veritas President James O'Keefe displayed Federal Election Commission records showing that Mr. Jurek has worked for 6 months for the Sanders campaign, earning about $11,000, and that he was employed briefly by the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee in 2018. Project Veritas also posted a September 21st tweet by Sanders' Iowa field director, Brooke Adams, showing a photo of Mr. Jurek and describing him as one of the campaign's, quote, top-tier organizers, end of quote. Is Kyle Jurek the true but hidden face of the Sanders campaign? Is the Sanders campaign going to fire Kyle Jurek? Are they going to say he's a lone wolf or an isolated incident? Asked Mr. O'Keefe in the video. The Washington Times reached out to the Sanders campaign for comment, but received no reply. Top campaigns for the party presidential nomination typically have hundreds of paid staffers. In the video, Mr. Jurek said that Trump supporters would need to be re-educated, comparing them to Nazi supporters at the end of World War II, and expressed support for Soviet-style gulags, which he said were, quote, "a lot better than what the CIA has told us," end of quote. Greatest way to break a effing billionaire of their privilege and the idea that they're superior. Go out and break rocks for 12 hours a day, Mr. Jurek said. You're now a working class person, and you're going to effing learn what that means, right? Asked in the video whether, quote, some of these MAGA people could even be re-educated, Mr. Jurek replied, "We gotta effing try," adding that such re-education was a name of Mr. Sanders' call for free tuition at public universities. Lou, wouldn't you love to get that guy in summer school, probably at the end of 10th grade when he's 19 years old, and see if you could help his English?
I don't think his English can be helped. I think it's just something he's so much in the habit of saying, he doesn't even notice it, probably.
He doesn't even notice who he is. Is he an American? I wonder. So like in Nazi Germany, after the fall of the Nazi Party, there was an S-T-T-O-N of the populace. Boy, I don't even know what that is.
Oh,
I guess I do. There are two words. There is S-T, and then there would be a ton of the populace. I guess that's an adjective for ton, that was effing Nazi-fied. Mr. Jurek said Germany had to spend billions of dollars re-educating their effing people to not be Nazis. We're probably going to have to do the same effing thing here. That's kind of what Bernie's whole, hey, free education for everybody, because we're going to have to teach you not to be a effing Nazi. Mr. Jurek aligned himself with Antifa. Oh, do I hear a hooray?
Yay.
Hooray. Oh, gosh. From George and his son, Soros. Mr. Jurek aligned himself with Antifa, saying that Trump supporters are, quote, scared effing. Did we know that word was coming? Senseless of anti-fascists. Huh? They are scared effing. Oh, they're scared effing senseless of anti-fascists. And that the only thing, this is a quote, the only thing that fascists understand is violence. Now, of course, you listeners have been hearing this kind of propaganda for years now, and all the Trump years, they've tried to attach that label, fascist, to him, when we know that Antifa is a group. They're people, they're kind of people that practically broke down the door of Tucker Carlson's home, his residence. We know that Antifa is not really anti-fascist. Of course they're not. But the article goes on. He added that there's a reason Joseph Stalin had gulags, and that gulags were actually meant for, like, re-education. The video also showed him taking shots at less radical liberals and media outlets, saying, walk into that MSNBC studio, drag those MFers, that they didn't put one of the F's in this article, I guess, to clue us in, Lou, drag those MFers out by their hair and light them on fire in the streets. If they effing take Bernie from us, he said, then we have nothing else left to lose. Project Veritas has been accused by critics of deceptively editing its undercover videos, which Mr. O'Keefe denies. There isn't too much real humor, but, you know, we could go mad if we took it too seriously. The caliber of thugs, the brown shirts, who, when a real Hitler gets in, what does he do? What was the night of the long knives?
That was because he decided these thugs had served that purpose now. What he wanted was the real army. So he made a little deal with the higher-ups in the army, the German army, and crushed the brown shirts. They were no longer of use.
Were they murdered in one night?
The leaders were, yep.
The leaders were.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what these people who can't use any vocabulary that's more elevated than effing and MFers, that's what they have to look forward to. But I don't pity them. They're soulless. I don't pity them unless they repent. And, of course, every human being has free will. God created us so that we can choose. We can choose to go on and on and on into the reprobate mind. You know, we take one little step. And was it in Macbeth that it's a tangled web by which we first start to deceive, something like that?
Well, you got me there.
I think that it might
quote.
Be Macbeth. It's Shakespearean anyway. And that's the truth. You know, you take one step into evil, and if you don't repent, then you go further and further. And then we'll have the people like the Podesta Connection and the spirit cooking and the hideous things that are part of this globalist ideal dream. And now we have to move on to the second major story that is of great concern. And again, we see that this is Governor Ralph Northam's declaration of a state of emergency at his Capitol Wednesday, January 15th, and making all firearms off limit. We know that with all of this, the two tie in together. Pardon me. One day recently, InfoWars featured a clip of Larry Graffwald. And he was a Green Beret undercover agent, and he was sent in years ago to find out what the weathermen were up to. And Larry asked how they would feed everyone after the so-called revolution that they would foment. And they thought, well, Cuba and some others would come in and occupy, and that would be taken care of. And the second point was they would have re-education centers in the Southwest. And the third point was that they said that the die-hard capitalists, those would be people who like the system, you see, that we have in America of capitalism and not socialism, those people would have to be eliminated, and they thought that would be 25 million. And now the scary part of this was that Larry Graffwald said most of these people sitting in the room with these theories had graduate degrees from Columbia and other universities, and that they were dead serious. We know now that it's pretty much useless for any middle-class person to send his or her children to any big-name colleges because they're all being manned by pro-socialism professors. And the brainwashing has really started to take into the millennial generation. So this is a very great travesty that you should be aware of this and don't send your child to a university like that. Then Obama, you see that he has put this thing into official Army code about the re-education camp plan. And Alex Jones commented that the police and the Army don't want to do this. Obama is out now, but that the globalists hope to do two major things, and one would be send the economy into a total crash, and number two, get us into civil war, foment it through racial division. So the background of this guy's spouting off there that Project Veritas fortuitously picked up, the background is this plan, this evil, evil leftist plan to take down America into chaos and anarchy. Mike Adams had a very significant segment on InfoWars Wednesday, January 15th. And he talked about Venezuela, and this is what we would be like if we get into this kind of a gulag situation. And I think we have heard also from InfoWars that there are some re-education camps there. But at any rate, he said it was sad because Venezuela had all kinds of immense wealth under the ground. It only needed to be brought up. But the political system is what was felled. So we ask you to really pray for InfoWars. We ask you to pray for some of the good people on Fox News, like Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Tucker Carlson. We ask you to pray for our leaders, that they will begin to be more bold and decisive, that they will not wait till everything collapses, or we would have to ask, were they part of it after all? We really would have to ask that. The Attorney General could write a letter to Governor Northam and tell him to cease and desist. That's what one listener who called in to InfoWars said, and I thought that was just about right. We do need to have some action taken. And why do Comey and Brennan still have their security clearances? Why? Why isn't some of this being taken care of? Is it a conspiracy through both political parties? We really do think mostly Donald Trump is good because he's so reviled and because he has taken us out of the TPP and he has done a variety of other things. I mean, to have the unemployment be at, I think it's 3.5 or 3.6 level, this hasn't been heard of since the year 1969. This is amazing. This is not an action of a saboteur. This is an action of a nationalist who loves his country. Well, anyway, back to Mike Adams. He also had a little bit of an expose of his own about Jurek, the effing loudmouth. Excuse me, the loudmouth who said all the effing words. He worked with the DSA, and that's the Democratic Socialists of America. So we can see all these things are of a pattern. And the mayor of San Francisco, remember that he has weatherman parents. This has been planned. This is a planned anarchy. This is a planned chaos. And Mike Adams said that Virginia looks like it might become the epicenter of if there is a coming civil war. And, of course, he doesn't want this. Alex Jones doesn't want this. We don't want this. We don't want a hot war. And Mike said there could be, in the playbook, a false plan, a false flag attack. And so what he said was that Governor Northam, if such a thing happened, if somebody shoots when they shouldn't shoot or whatever, then Governor Northam could hypothetically enlarge this emergency order for the whole state. Wouldn't that be something, Lou?
Yes, it sure would.
And so then, you see, the prohibition of the firearms would be statewide. And then you see this the gun owners are going to have to be very, very careful. On January 20th, I think there are 100 buses of gun supporters who are coming to peacefully protest the gun confiscation laws. And Lou will give us a little update on that. I think one got withdrawn, but not all of them. But at any rate, we don't want to see some kind of an incident that will form the false flag reason. You know, you told me, I asked you about the Revolutionary War, and what did you tell me about the key battles, that they about whether they knew who made the shot, first shot?
Well, because it began at Lexington. The British were marching, as in the famous poem, Paul Revere's Ride, were marching to seize the arms that the colonists had gathered out and conquered. And at first, the British easily overcame a little group in Lexington, Massachusetts, a little ways to the west of Boston. I don't know how many were involved. It wasn't very many. And I'm not sure anybody really knows exactly who fired the first shot. But the British quickly overcame that small group in Lexington. But by the time they got to Concord, several miles away, word had gotten out, and the colonists were ready for them. And that's the famous Emerson poem, "The Shot Heard Round the World." And from that point on, the British hightailed it back to Boston, and the revolution had begun.
So you're saying that at Lexington, you're not sure who shot first there?
No, I'm not.
We're not sure.
But in Concord, there was a quick rout by the colonists over the British.
Yes.
And from that point on, we know the rest. America is here. The United States became a nation because of all the great events of the Revolutionary War, and it took many years. Washington lost some battles, but he won the final battle at Yorktown, and here we are today.
And really, without Almighty God's help, we can do nothing. And he isn't pleased when we have to report on the drag queen story hours and various things in America because many people have turned from his scripture and they will live their morally relative lives in according to their own systems. But there are still many Christians. There are many Bible-believing Christians who are at deep prayer, and I believe that's what's holding the whole thing back. So, you know, with what you're saying there, we don't want somebody to be used, a patsy, like Oswald or someone who shoots an AR-15 or a 3D-made gun there near Northam's Citadel. Because then CNN or MSM, one of them, one of the group of the MSM, if it's not CNN, it'll be somebody else, MSNBC, they can edit, they can distort the scene. And there's no editorial standard anymore. Mike Adams brought this out, that these are enemies of America. We never thought we would think that. You know, when you and I watch these people like David Brinkley years and years ago, Chet Huntley, good night, David. Good night, Chet. We looked up to them as heroes. We also looked up to Walter Cronkite at the time of JFK's assassination. But little did we know what an intrepid globalist he was. And there's a quote of him saying something about he worked for the devil. He was pleased to be doing this. So a lot of these people were never our friends. We have to be vigilant. This is what we have to be, and we have to be wise and careful. Now, there were people who called in to InfoWars who were police and military, And they were very inspiring. One was a man, he said before he retired, he took his NCOs aside and he taught them about the Constitution. Wasn't that marvelous, Jim and Lou?
That was tremendous. Yes, that was so good to hear, so heartening.
It really is, isn't it? I used your first name for a change, but
yes,
that's all right. We don't lie. My first name is Phoebe. His first name is Jim. But we have our own attachment to these names, our middle names. When we were back starting, Lou Blanchard, Elizabeth Border, when I wrote my books, and an old friend came and said, surely you're not going to use your real name in the book, because I then had young nieces. And I thought, oh, I shouldn't do that. So for years, we could not really say who we really were, but now it's a great pleasure to stand up in the way that we wanted to stand up before, putting our names, our fortunes, we've pledged them. And, of course, we're in debt. The debt keeps growing, but we thank those of you who help us a little bit because you respect the idea that we're independent. We have no corporate help whatsoever from anyone. We only have a few individuals who contribute sometimes. And if you would like to help us stay on the air, we really do thank two or three individuals who helped us this past month. It was a great blessing because we had a lot of dental bills, huge bills, other bills, and we thought, how are we going to stay on the air? If you'd like to help us, you can send a money order made out to WWCR or a check made out to WWCR, not to us. We can't take checks written to us. But it's Lou Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, that's P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And, of course, this idea of getting these police and troopers out front, this is not good either. Northam has this, I think, this kind of plan that they're going to be right out there guarding everything. And, see, they're going to be sitting ducks. So they're going to have to be very vigilant. And we ask you to pray very hard for the safety of those Virginia state troopers and police. And you know the way the left blames guns. Mike Adams said it's kind of like the spirit vans when the Muslims use them. In other words, there's no responsibility anymore for the individual's crime. They blame it on something else. And the idea is to cause escalation. So we do have to watch out for provocation, excuse me, and we don't want these gun owners to be provoked into firing. So we'll see what happens. We have to really follow this whole narrative very, very much. And so we ask for your prayers in all this. And now I think, Lou, you have an encouragement about the situation in Virginia. Do the people, Lou, have any real power there in Virginia and all over the USA?
Well, I think they do, all through the history. From the very beginning, it was those few people that began the War of Independence. It was the people's opinions that precipitated the Civil War, the anti-slavery movements. It was the people that, although they may not have agreed ahead of time, valiantly chipped in to fight World War One, and of course, even more so, World War Two, and their reaction. So once the American people get going, there's, as I think one of the British prime ministers once said, there's no limit to the power they can generate.
Yes, you know, I'd interject right there. Alex Jones said, our acquiescence to this lawlessness has brought us to this point. And if we don't stand up, the foreign powers will win and come in, and they'll buy up everything in America for pennies on the dollar.
That's right. So here we have, from the Western Journal, this appeared in WorldNet Daily, but it was originally in the Western Journal, dateline January the 14th, 2020. Headline reads, Virginia gun confiscation bill pulled as huge pro-gun crowd shows up at legislature to protest. Democrats might wield power in the Old Dominion, but gun rights backers haven't given up the fight. As lawmakers met Monday to consider a slew of gun control bills, they were greeted by thousands of Second Amendment supporters determined to voice their opposition, the Washington Free Beacon reported. even in the face of that kind of popular discontent, four measures moved forward in the state Senate Judiciary Committee, thanks to a Democratic majority, though some were in slightly weakened form, the Free Beacon reported. But one bill, known as SB 16, a controversial measure that would have effectively allowed authorities to confiscate weapons that violated, was withdrawn entirely, the Free Beacon reported. It was the potential of people power on full display, said D.J. Spiker, Virginia State Director of the National Rifle Association's Institute for Legislative Action, according to the Free Beacon, quote, "We are beyond impressed by today's turnout. You can see the passion and enthusiasm that the citizens of Virginia have in joining us in this fight," unquote. It's a fight that has been building since the fall's elections put both houses of the state legislature in Democratic hands, along with the governor's office, which Democrat Ralph Northam won in 2017. In response to ambitious Democratic plans to proceed with gun control measures, Second Amendment supporters have mobilized throughout the state, with individual jurisdictions declaring themselves to be sanctuaries, that's in quotes, sanctuaries for Second Amendment rights. But with the legislature in session, the conflict is being concentrated in the Virginia state capitol in Richmond, and gun rights supporters made it clear they aren't backing down. Said one Twitter account, "An absolutely incredible turnout by NRA members in Richmond today. In contrast, abysmal showing by Mums Demand," that must be a pro-gun control group, "and anti-gun groups." I'm not sure whether that's accurate to say anti. Well, yes, I guess it would be anti-gun groups is an abysmal showing. Bloomberg, that would be Michael Bloomberg, who's now running for president, has billions to buy politicians. But NRA members have the will to fight harder. Another tweet said, "This is awesome news. I think Bloomberg poked a sleeping bear, and now the Virginia legislature is scared. Hopefully, firearm enthusiasts will be united for all of America." According to Ed Lynch, political analyst for WSLS in Roanoke, the huge turnout of protesters, many wearing circular stickers with the words, "Guns save lives," could have a lasting impact on the gun debate in the Old Dominion, and an impact Democrats won't like. Lynch told the station, quote, "That's far more meaningful, far more far-reaching, and far more persuasive evidence that Virginians were certainly voting for change in 2019, but they weren't necessarily voting for this sort of change," unquote. As heartening as the pro-gun turnout in Richmond might have been, Spiker told the Free Beacon the bills that passed the Judiciary Committee and are on their way to the state Senate floor still represent a danger to Second Amendment rights, even after their modifications. He said, quote, "While there were some improvements to some of the bills overall, it's still bad legislation. Putting in more regulations and making it more onerous on the law-abiding citizens of Virginia is not something we stand for," unquote. But it is something Virginia Democrats stand for, and the elections of 2019 gave them the power to actually implement it. Gun rights supporters are going to keep up the fight, but it's going to be uphill until they can win at the ballot box again, starting with re-electing President Donald Trump in November. And as I said, this article originally appeared in the Western Journal.
And we know that the New World Order's plans are worldwide. So as we have been watching the situation in Australia with the wildfires and some of the people who are allegedly have been picked up as starting them, we can realize that this plan was, according to two callers to InfoWars, and they were two women, and one had now lived in Tanzania, but she grew up on the mainland of Australia, and she said this was unheard of, having this type of thing happen, because they would always do what the Aborigines suggested, and that was scrubbing the land. In other words, they would get rid of the detritus, and they would burn down some of the old dried up stuff. They would make fire breaks, and that way, when the raging fire came, it had to stop. It couldn't go on farther. But you see, this ability to do this was taken away from the people. They were not allowed to do this. They were not allowed to make fire breaks. So it looks very suspicious because they want that light rail to come through the country and have the big global cities. The New World Order wanted to put it into a rewilding. And we've brought that out in this program before, that I think in the 1990s, Dr. Michael Kaufman and Kay Bailey Hutchison got into Congress at the last minute, or we would have had this UN plan put in our country. We would have these big corridors that were only there for plants and animals, and there would be a few little islands of human habitation. It's shocking, but it's true. So that plan, you see, is kind of continuing there, I guess, in Australia. It was kind of interesting here that Fox News on January the 7th said that, quote, federal agencies such as the U.S. Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management already have provided a few dozen people, most of them with experience managing fires. So they were going to Australia, and let's hope they were good, normal Americans. But we also can remember some things that have happened in the past to patriotic landowners who had to tangle with the Bureau of Land Management. And we know that the wildlife, the U.S. Wildlife Service, there's some things that are going on sometimes, I think, in some of these, what we would call the deep state areas of those agencies. For instance, all those eagles that seem to be poisoned and killed. What was the story on that? All the time, this evil mind of Satan is probing. The New World Order is creating incidents and probing and experimenting on people. The chemtrails, for instance. And Alex Jones says we shouldn't worry about them too much. They're to demoralize us. But eventually, people are going to have more and more Alzheimer's, I think, with the barium and the aluminum going into the soil. And it's destroying the pH. There were important DVDs. What in the world are they spraying and why in the world are they spraying that brought that out? So these are ongoing things. And as part of that, we now have this big headline, Ebola-infected woman crosses America's open border and dies in a U.S. hospital. Human weapons infected with Ebola are being sent into the USA. This was Wednesday, January 8, 2020, by Ethan Huff at Natural News, www.naturalnews.com. There's still no formidable wall protecting America's southern border from continued invasion, which means that, quote, migrants and, quote, refugees, let's call these people what they really are, illegals, continue to flood into our country like a broken fire hydrant. And some of them, disturbing new reports indicate, are bringing with them deadly Ebola infections that could create a national health nightmare. A case in point was a 41-year-old woman from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, DRC, who died recently after entering the country via Texas. Border Patrol reportedly took the woman into custody after it was revealed that she had, quote, a pre-existing medical condition, after which she, quote, vomited before dying from acute kidney failure. And we've alluded to this on a prior program, but this is of such bombshell importance that we must bring it up again. Upon analysis, it was determined that the woman was infected with Ebola, a deadly illness that has the potential to snowball into a national or even global pandemic if it isn't quickly identified and quarantined. In this case, initial screening determined that this woman was sick, but for some reason, she was cleared by on-site contracted medical personnel and transferred to the Lincoln Juarez Bridge for additional immigration processing and overnight holding. The very next day, which just so happened to be Christmas morning, the woman began to suffer abdominal pain that eventually caused her to throw up. Border Patrol immediately contacted Emergency Medical Services, EMS, which came and transported the woman to the Laredo Medical Center for a medical evaluation where she quickly died. The subject's health declined rapidly, and she passed away at the hospital, according to reports, though the Webb County Medical Examiner's Office, WCMEO, ruled the death as not suspicious since she had, quote, a pre-existing medical condition. But what this office and others involved failed to reveal was that this pre-existing medical condition was deadly Ebola, possibly out of fear that it might create mass panic. The Ebola virus disease, EVD, is a serious illness characterized by fever, severe vomiting, and diarrhea, and in severe cases, multi-organ failure, requiring mechanical ventilation and renal replacement therapy, warns the National Center for Biotechnology Information on its website. People who survive Ebola virus infection face a dramatically higher risk of dying, probably from severe kidney damage, within a year of leaving hospital, Reuters has also reported. It almost seems like the authorities want to trigger an Ebola pandemic. That's a headline here on www.naturalnews.com. Ebola is a pretty serious health condition, in other words, and one that's far riskier than, say, measles, which our government is constantly fear-mongering about in order to scare the American public into getting vaccinated, or in the case of California, using as an excuse to force people to get vaccinated. But somehow, when it comes to illegal invaders, all bets are off, as anyone is welcome by these same leftists into our country, regardless of their, quote, pre-existing medical conditions, end of quote. Furthermore, nobody on the vaccine-loving left is calling for refugees and migrants to be forcibly vaccinated in the same way as California children are by vaccine liars like Richard Pan, who single-handedly led the crusade to eliminate the Golden State's religious and philosophical vaccine exemption provisions. Meanwhile, Ebola is spilling over in the United States, and you'd be hard-pressed to even learn about it from the mainstream media, let alone be informed about how to try to protect yourself from its deadly scourge. Somehow, it's no big deal for illegals to bring deadly diseases into America. But if you're an American citizen who objects to mandatory vaccination, then the left wants to throw you in prison. CDC holds a patent on Ebola, and new vaccine is a big moneymaker, notes one InfoWars commentator about the sinister nature of these latest developments. Quote, let in a few infected people to scare everyone. Maybe they can legally force it on everyone if enough cases emerge. Can't trust them. For more related news, be sure to check out deception.news. And with that, we have another bombshell. This has just broken recently. I have part one, Lou has part two, vaccine bombshell. As UN health experts admit, toxic vaccine ingredients are harming children worldwide. Monday, January 13, 2020, by Mike Adams, Natural News. A December 2, 2019 World Health Organization Global Vaccine Safety Summit video has been found and leaked to the world, revealing shocking admissions of the health hazards posed by vaccines and their toxic ingredients. A first wave compilation of some of the more damning quotes was created by Dell Bigtree's Highwire organization, which posted the video to YouTube. Knowing that video would quickly be banned, we posted it to Brighteon.com, and that's capital Brighteon, one word, .com, where Highwire is expected to launch a channel very soon. You can watch the full video at this link on Brighteon. For a related article that covers this, see this link at thehighwire.com. And that's spelled capital T-H-E, capital H-I-G-H, capital W-I-R-E.com. A full transcript of this video compilation is offered below. Watch the video here via Brighteon. Some of the highlights: an admission that vaccine adjuvants increase cell death and damage to vaccine recipients. For this paragraph, the term reactogenicity means vaccine adverse reactions and side effects, including those that are known to be extremely harmful and cause long-term damage or even death. And of course, we've recently heard that peanut oil was an adjuvant in some of the child vaccines, and that might be an explanation why so many children have peanut allergies. Now, we have some of these comments from these people on this video. Dr. Stephen Evans, professor of co-epidemiology. It seems to me that adjuvants multiply the immunogenicity of the antigens that they are added to, and that is their intention. Seems to me they multiply the reactogenicity in many instances, and therefore it seems to me that it is not unexpected if they multiply the incidence of adverse reactions that are associated with the antigen. Dr. Martin Howell Freed, you are correct. As we add adjuvants, especially some of the more recent adjuvants, such as the AS01 saponin-derived adjuvants, we do see increased local reactogenicity. The major health concern which we are seeing are accusations of long-term effects. An admission that the World Health Organization is panicking over the fact that many doctors and nurses are finally starting to question the safety and vaccines and are becoming aware of the coordinated cover-up of vaccine injuries. Then there was Professor Heidi Larson, Ph.D., director of the Vaccine Confidence Project. We have a very wobbly health professional front line that is starting to question vaccines and the safety of vaccines. When the frontline professionals are starting to question, or they don't feel like they have enough confidence about the safety to stand up to it to the person asking them the questions. I mean, most medical school curriculums, even nursing curriculums, I mean, in medical school, you're lucky if you have a half day on vaccines. Never mind keeping up to date with all this. Also, from Professor Heidi Larson, you can't repurpose the same old science to make it sound better if you don't have the science that's relevant to the new problem. So we need much more investment in safety science. An admission that vaccine clinical trials are insufficient and that vaccines are approved without adequate safety data. Also admits that vaccines damage children far more than they damage elderly adults. Dr. Marion Gruber, Director, Office of Vaccines Research and Review Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research, FDA. And again, as you mentioned, pre-licensure clinical trials may not be powered enough. It's also the subject population that you administer the adjuvant to, because we've seen data presented to us where an adjuvant, a particular adjuvant added to a vaccine antigen, did really nothing when administered to a certain population, and usually the elderly, you know, compared to administering the same formulation to younger age strata. A warning about the lack of vaccine safety monitoring systems around the world. And now we have first Dr. Soumya Swaminathan, chief scientist, WHO pediatrician. I think we cannot overemphasize the fact that we really don't have very good safety monitoring systems in many countries. And this adds to the miscommunication and the misapprehensions, because we're not able to give clear-cut answers when people ask questions about the deaths that have occurred due to a particular vaccine. Then here's an admission that viral fragments don't work as promised by immunization theory, and that it's the adjuvants which are responsible for the inflammatory response to vaccines. Dr. Martin Howell Freed, Coordinator, Initiative for Vaccine Research, WHO. Without adjuvants, we are not going to have the next generation of vaccines. And many of the vaccines that we do have, ranging from tetanus through to HPV, require adjuvants in order for them to work. We do not add adjuvants to vaccines because we want to do so. Then there's an admission that vaccine safety tracking systems don't even exist, and that efforts to build such systems are only just beginning. Dr. Robert Chen, MD, Scientific Director, Brighton Collaboration. We're really only in the beginning of the era of large data sets, where hopefully you could start to kind of harmonize the databases for multiple studies. And there's actually an initiative underway. Helen there may want to comment on it, to try to get more national vaccine safety database linked together so we could start to answer these types of questions you just raised. And there's more, Lou, isn't there?
Yes, there is. You read some of the things that I have here. I believe there's a bit of an overlap. So I'll begin with Dr. Stephen Evans, professor of pharmacoepidemiology. He says, it seems to me that adjuvants multiply the immunogenicity of the antigens that they are added to, and that is their intention. It seems to me they multiply the reactogenicity in many instances, and therefore it seems to me that it is not unexpected if they multiply the incidence of adverse reactions.
And I must interject, we always heard on the Patriot Radio that one of the harmful things in the Gulf War syndrome possibility from vaccines given to the soldiers was squalene. That was an adjuvant.
That's right.
All right, go ahead. And then I see that's something that's put in to some women's cosmetic creams. Huh?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Pick it up, though.
Just reading a small part of that again, it seems to me that they multiply, that is the adjuvants, they multiply the reactogenicity in many instances, and therefore it seems to me that it is not unexpected if they multiply the incidence of adverse reactions that are associated with the antigen, but may not have been detected through lack of statistical power in the original studies. And then says Dr. Martin Howell-Fried, you are correct. As we add adjuvants, especially some of the more recent adjuvants, such as the AS01, saponin-derived adjuvants, we do see increased local reactogenicity. The primary concern, though, usually is systemic adverse events rather than local adverse events. And we tend to get in the phase 2 and the phase 3 studies quite good data on the local reactogenicity. Those of us in this room that are beyond the age of 50 who have had the pleasure of having the recent shingles vaccine will know that this does have quite significant local reactogenicity. If you got the vaccine, you know that you got the vaccine. But this is not the major health concern. The major health concern, which we are seeing, are accusations of long-term effects. So to combat this, I'm going to once again point to the regulators. It comes down to ensuring that we conduct phase 2 and phase 3 studies with adequate size and with the appropriate measurement. Then Dr. David Caslow, MD, VP, Essential Medicines Drug Development Program, PATH, Center for Vaccine Innovation and Access. He says, so in our clinical trials, we are actually using relatively small sample sizes. And when we do that, we're at risk of tyranny of small numbers, which is you just need a single case of Wegener's granulomatosis, and your vaccine has to solve Waltz. How do you prove a null hypothesis?
In other words, is he saying that we have to wonder whether the vaccine caused that Wegener's disease?
I think that's it,
I think that's it. And, you know, these long-term effects that the other person talked about right before him, that's so important. You and I worked with that janitor at a small Christian school in the 1980s, and he couldn't lift his arm. That was what Guillain-Barré syndrome he had had after the flu shot. So, these things are taken into our bodies, and if there was an aborted fetal cell line that established the beginning of all of it and it's still there, how can God give us good health if we're going to put foreign elements like this into our body? That's my opinion. That's nobody else's opinion. But, you know, we have to bring you all the information. And now this is starting to break into the open with the UN involved in it.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't matter what you hear, whether you're to get your flu shot or not. You have to make the decision. And it's been a pleasure to come to you tonight on WWCR. And maybe you'll hear us on LWRN and .net. And maybe on KSTARTalkRadio.com. But God bless you, and we are praying for our listener, Fred, with the congestive heart failure. Please keep our country and our president and our leader, William Barr. Let him be bold and decisive. Good night.